you know that every second of every day, every part of every second of every day is unique? There's nothing ordinary about any of our time. God is constantly creating something new. He never stops. The seconds that have passed this day have been under His creative power. None of those seconds have been wasted somehow for us, for the church, and for the kingdom of God. He doesn't waste a second. I've asked you to think about, in previous sermons, the symbol of the man who leapt from the World Trade Centers. Do you remember me telling you that story, that picture, that magnificent picture of as the World Trade Center was burning and as people were falling and doing all their contorted falling? There was this one picture of this man who was doing a perfect swan dive. His hands were outstretched, his head was up, his legs were together, his toes were pointed. The difference between his fall and the other's fall was his heart and his perspective, because he was falling too. He was going to hit the ground just like they were going to hit the ground. And the question that I put before us at that point, which I would like to put before us again tonight, is, what are we going to do with the time in between? We're all falling to our death. It is inevitable. What will we do with the time in between? If we understand that time to be so precious and unique that the Creator Himself every second is creating, would we not want to, with great wonder, enter into that creation and realize, know, experience what He is constantly accomplishing in us, through us, in His church, and in His kingdom? Well, I think that a passage that I'd like to get a little bit into is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It was one of our scripture passages for, I believe, last week. Paul says, "Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that always brings righteousness, continuously brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. Their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, continuous, not once, continuous, beginning at a point, continuing indefinitely. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are, not will be, not might be, not could be, are being transformed into his likeness with every second, ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. What I would like for us to consider in this Lent is that the Lord would show us places where we, through lack of faith, would dare to veil the unveiled, where we would shrink away from the truth that his glory, despite what we see, despite what we think, despite what we know, despite what others see, what they think, what they know, that his glory is in fact ever increasing every second in your life. Once Christ entered, he entered for real. And he declared over you, no veil. And he said about your life, ever increasing glory. I'm scared to death of unveiling myself. I don't want you to know me unveiled, except if this is true. Because if you know me unveiled, if this is not true, you're not going to sit here 1 second longer tonight. But I want unveiled life through which the glory of Christ can be revealed to me and revealed through me. And you know what? I want more. I want that from y'all. I want that glory coming at me, unveiled. I want that glory coming at the streets, unveiled. I want that glory preached with word, thought, word, and deed. Can we spend some time during this season asking the Lord to reveal to us where we have veiled ourselves? In disobedience, covering what he has uncovered. In disobedience, binding ourselves where he has pronounced freedom. Can we ask him in his mercy to free us from our fear that unveiled we are condemned, that unveiled we are judged, that unveiled we are unworthy, that unveiled we are ashamed? And may we walk in an ever-increasing belief that because we are unveiled by him, we have been set free indeed, and our lives can exhibit and experience ever, ever, ever-increasing glory. I want that from you. I need that from you. Where it is veiled in this season, Lord, show me the veil and give me the courage to believe that you have taken it away. And if you ask me to do something about it, give me the capacity, give me the will, give me the power, give me the confidence, give me the faith to act on that. So what are we doing with the time in between? Because we're falling to our deaths. We are declaring the progressive glory of God with every second that we exist on this earth. How are we falling? He has said, ever increasing glory. If that's the case, why not swan dive while we're going? If that's the case, why not enjoy the ride? If we got no control over it, why not act like we don't? Why be afraid of unrelenting glory? Why be afraid of freedom? Why be afraid of joy unspeakable? Why be afraid of peace beyond description? Why veil that which he has unveiled? Let's pray. Lord, we hear you, and we know that we're very prone to cling to air as we fall. Give us your mercy and give us your grace to dive gracefully, to dive faithfully, to dive courageously. And as we do so, Lord, would your glory be revealed to us and through us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.